you. We've got the faithful here this morning. Good morning. Good to be here again. So it is. Gail's not with us this morning. She got a cortisone shot yesterday and is pretty sore this morning. So they recommend that she stay in a couple of days. But we're glad that we have a part here at Faith. And we're looking at Romans 12 today. Romans 12. Let's turn our Bibles. We'll take time to read it. We're in good time this morning. So we are, and this is a short chapter. So it's Romans 12, and let's read it together. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Actually, in my study of this chapter, I've referred to quite a number of translations just to get an idea of the context and so forth. But in Romans 12, the first one says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every one who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In ministry, let us use it in our own ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not offend yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We know the Lord has blessing to the reading we've taken from his words this morning. And here we are at Romans chapter 12. The weeks have passed quickly, and we've had different speakers speak on different chapters. But what have we covered to this point? If you look back over the last 11 weeks or so, or 12 weeks, we've covered a lot of ground. We think of that in Romans chapter 1 and 16 is the key verse, I believe, of the whole book. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. But the key word throughout the book of Romans is the word righteousness. And we find that even the gospel, we find it related to sin in the early chapters, as righteousness was needed. We find it's related to salvation later on, as righteousness was provided. We find it in chapter 6 to 8, the gospel is related to sanctification. Righteousness was applied. We find in 9:11, which Gary took the last 3 weeks, we find there that the gospel is related to the sovereignty of God, and righteousness was vindicated. And so today we come to chapter 12, which indeed is the start of what I would say the final section of the book of Romans. From chapter 12 right through to 16, we have what we might say the gospel is related to service, righteousness practiced, the practice of righteousness in our lives, in your life and mine. And the Apostle Paul, he starts off here in Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you, he was pleading to them. The word therefore, it's an interesting word. It connects chapter 12 with almost the first 11 chapters. And what Paul is saying is, therefore, in view of what I've told you in the early chapters of the book of Romans, and what he did, he had proven that all were by nature under sin. They had no claim to God, that God had shown great compassion in giving his Son to die for them and pardoning them, and that his mercy was not only extended to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. And basically what he's saying here, I beg you by the mercies of God, therefore, brethren. He was saying, what are you going to do about it? In view of what I've told you, in view of the gospel which came even as the power of God unto salvation, and you accepted Christ as your Savior, what are you going to do about it? You know, I thought of myself, you know, if we look back in our own lives, don't we, the day we were saved and our Christian lives so since that time? The same question might be asked, when we hear the gospel, when we've experienced the gospel, what do we do about it? I remember we took a young lady to the Billy Graham Crusade in Buffalo many years ago. And after the meeting on the way home, she said, he's so simple. He's so simple. And yet, when I look back, many people, they make the gospel very complicated. But the gospel is simple. And you look back in your life and my life, how will you react to it? Is there a joy there? Is there a satisfaction there? Is there a thankfulness there, what God has done for us? I believe this is what Paul was doing in this chapter. He was asking the Roman Christians, he said, what are you going to do about it? You see, in the last few chapters of Romans, Romans 12 to 16, it speaks, I think, of relationship. I said it's the righteousness practice, but it speaks, if you look at it, it speaks about our relationship with God in view of the gospel that we received. It speaks about our relationship to the church and the saints in chapter 12 as well. And then it speaks about our relationship in society. How are we living today? How are we walking with God? In view that we have been saved from our sins, in view that we one day accepted Christ as our Savior. And so he makes this plea to them. And he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And simply the word by there simply means, denotes the reason or the ground of the plea. And what he was saying, he said, in view of what I've told you, in view of the gospel, because of the gospel, what really are you going to do about it, you? And so, as we looked at the chapter, just a little outline of it, it's a very simple outline. We find that, first of all, we find a response, and then we find the responsibilities that we have. Paul, as I said, proven that we're all under sin, that they have no claim to God, that God has shown great compassion in giving his Son to die for them and pardoning them. His mercy was not only extended to the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Now, how are we going to react? How are we going to respond to it? How are you, he said to the Roman Christians, how are you going to respond to it? And in the first two verses, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is your good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said, the only reasonable thing to do, the least we can do is what? Is to give ourselves to God. He said, I beseech you, brethren, that you present. And so the response was a presentation. A presentation. Thinking just a little prayer time there of going back and at the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, the Archbishop, he handed her a Bible. But as he took that Bible and handed it to her, he said, I present you with the Bible, the oracles of the living God. He presented it to her. He handed it to her. He didn't divide the Bible up and give her part of it. And this, I think, is what it means. It says here, he said, that you present your bodies, your bodies. He presented the whole Bible to her. He handed it to her. He gave it to her from himself. And I believe what Paul is saying here is that God asks us to give ourselves, our bodies, our whole being in entirety to him as a living sacrifice and holy and acceptable to God. With all of our living, with all of our energies, God's asking us to give everything to him because of what he has done for us. Consecrated to God is to be our very best. And he said, that is which indeed is the will of God. And do not be conformed to this world. We're to present our entire bodies, our entire beings, all we have to God as a sacrifice, which is alive, releasing all claims. It's the only response when we recognize the mercy of God in Christ. He doesn't ask for part of us. He asks for everything. And so we indeed are asked by the Bible that we are to hand them over to him, as it were, in totality, that he might use them. And we'll see that in a moment. And it says, be not conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not to put on the form or the fashion of this world. The Bible and other passages, and we don't have time to go in today, it speaks of not being conformed to this world. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil which is against us. But we are not to pattern our lives according to this world. There's a world that has its own standards. But remember, the word of God is a standard, I believe, that we are asked and we are accept to follow in our lives. This age, put on, not on the form of this age, in our aims, our actions, our attitudes, our attire, our associations, our appetites. All of these were not to be conformed to this world. We're not to pattern them against this world. Those things that went into there is our aims, our actions, our attitudes, our attire, our associations, our appetites, is all part of our lives. And so we find that in Corinthians, we find that we're to be different. We're different from the world. As we walk into, I think it was, the story is that God sent an angel down to see the church and find out how the church was doing. And the angel came back and said, I think they said, find how the church is doing in the world. And the angel came back to heaven and he said, Lord, he said, I didn't find how it was doing in the world. I found the world in the church. And that's the state of our church today. Not perhaps of this assembly, but generally speaking, the church in the world today, the world has crept in. And many of the standards and many of the actions that are being conformed and patterned according to it. The services, even the government of our churches today, they're all patterned according to the world. And it's very dangerous, so it is. But here he said, also present your entire bodies, your entire beings to God, that he might use them. You're to pattern them, not according to this age, but you're to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Christian life is different. Our lives as believers should be different from the unsaved around us. So when we go into a place, it's recognized even before it. You know, we're looking at the book of Esther in the month of January. And in that first chapter of Esther, remember Esther went into the king, into the feast, and Mordecai told her not to tell him that she was a Jew. And I'm speaking on that on the first Sunday of January. And what I thought about that was the silent witness of Esther. Because the king saw her, and I know perhaps he was drawn by maybe a physical characteristic in her, but she was in there as a silent witness for God and for the Jewish people. And you know, we are in this world, we don't have to go about shouting it, we're Christians. There's enough of that being done today in our world. People stand up and say, I'm a Christian, and suddenly they say something which is totally way off. They do things which are totally way off. And they wear crosses and things like that. And they're just ruining Christianity, I believe. So you don't have to go about shouting you're a Christian. You go about the silent witness. People will watch you. People are listening to us. And here we find that we're to be transformed, we're to be changed, because the Christian life is a changed life. What a wonderful thing in my life has been done since Jesus came into my heart, the hymn writer put it. And so our lives are not to be conformed to this world. We're to present them in an entire to God that he can use them, and we're to be transformed. I came across a website during my studies called the Enduring Bible Study Bible. And this is what it says about this. Paul here explains how to live at the will of God. Keep in mind the rich mercy of God to you, past, present, and future, by the mercies of God. As an act of intelligent worship, decide to yield your entire self to him. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Resist conformity to the thoughts and actions of the world. Do not be conformed. By focus on God's word and fellowship with him, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then your life will be in the will of God. Your life will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may know what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, but you can't prove it in your life apart from the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. A few months ago, or at least sometime within the last year or so, Matt Williams was with us and actually spoke from this passage. And this is what his outline was. If we're to live dedicated lives, we're to live distinct lives, and we're to live developing lives. Dedicated to God, distinct from the world, and developing as we indeed renew our minds, renewed by even a transformation. Hymn writer put it us, it says, give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Given to you will be given. God, his beloved Son, gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself of your ransom. Give up his glory above. Give up his glory above. Lay down his life without. Give to you will be given. God, his beloved Son, gave. Gratefully seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. And so what the response that Paul calls for, the response which God calls for from each of us, and view what he's done for us, that we're to present ourselves. Present ourselves, our entire being, that he might indeed use us for himself. And so the New Living Translation puts it like this. It says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly a way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will of you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And that's the response that we're to give. But then the next thing we find in the latter part of the chapter is our responsibility. We are to respond in this way, but then we have a responsibility as we live in view of what God has done for us. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use in ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here we find, I think, first of all, it's our performance. Our responsibility is to our performance and our relationship to other people. Here's the relationship, I believe, within the assembly, our relationship to the saints. And we find a number of things. And Paul, he refers to the gifts here. But first of all, he said, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." So the first thing we find here, that when we serve or come within the church, there has to be discernment and understanding, a recognition of really who we are. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but think soberly. The NET version says, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Don't think you're better than you really are. Don't let it get to your head. Don't start acting you become smarter, or don't act arrogant because of the compliment. And then questions ask why. Why does Paul say this to them? Like, don't think yourself high and mighty and haughty because of grace. We're saved by grace, but everything we received is only because of the grace of God. And so we are to discern that, we are to understand that, and we are to recognize that in our lives. In other words, what the Bible calls us here is that we're to be humble. We'll be humble. You know, many people have come faulted with this. We find those who will stand up and they're high and mighty and so on. And so what is it? That fall, pride cometh before a fall. That's really what it's saying here. We're not to be high and mighty. We're to be humble. We're to live lives which are humble before God. NLT said, in his grace, God has given us different gifts of doing certain things. So if God has given you the ability of prophecy and so on, it says, first of all, we're to use them. We're to use the gifts that God has given to us, generally speaking. But as we look at the gifts here, and I know in Corinthians we have 1 Corinthians 12 and so on, where the gifts are more spoken of. But the first thing we have to remember is that there's a difference in the gifts that each one of us has been given. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that has given to us, let us use them. You have a gift and I have a gift. But first of all, we're asked here to find out what they are. And then we're told to use them. Because of what God has done for us, he's given us these gifts. We're to use them for his glory. And then we're to look upon others in humility. And says, for as many have members of one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And there's very interesting little words in this passage. First of all, we're to use them. And then it says that all members do not have the same function. We had an elder, Scott Lee, and he believed that elders should have all gifts. And that is not biblical. We have different gifts. Each of us have a different gift that God has given to us. We have a different function. But then so many are one body in Christ. A few weeks ago, I put a thing on Facebook, a band playing Abide With Me was. I think, how great thou art. And there was a band, and there was clarinets, and there was trumpets, and all these. And there's so many different instruments in it. And I thought, that's a tremendous picture of the church, isn't it? Within the church, there's different people with different gifts. But it says one body in Christ. And yet that the band started to play, and they all played, and there was harmony. Because they all came together. I saw another thing, there was a reel, and it introduced them to different parts of a brass band. And they played the clarinet, and they played the trumpet. Individually, they played them. And then the conductor said, now listen to them. They're all going to play together. And they all started to play together. That's the picture now. 1 Corinthians uses the picture of the body, or human bodies. All different parts. It says, there's an ear, there's a nose, there's a mouth. The ear can't function without the mouth and things like that. Same within that band. It would be incomplete if you took the clarinet away or the trumpet away and so on. sometimes in the church we have different people, we have different gifts individually. So we're to use them, we're to recognize that people are different, and we don't expect everybody to have the same gifts. So we don't. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. And then I like this, and we all belong to each other. So it's not only the discernment that we should have as we look back on what God has done for us, the difference of the gifts, but there's dependence upon each other within the church. Think of what we've done, and we come together, we are to depend truly upon each other. And we'll see that in just a moment. And then the last thing we find here in this section, as we look at our performance, the execution of our action in view of what God has done for us, our works, is diligence. Diligence. It says to show with diligence, and then we're to do it, to do it. Constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken, persistent exertion. One commentary I read said, the church is not a place for lazy people. We're exhorted to use our gifts in what God has done for and what He's given to us. In this grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So this is an exhortation that we're given. Our response to what God has done to us, our responsibility in our performance, our actions even in work. But then the rest of the chapter we look at and is responsibility in our practice. Our practice. Faith without works is dead, the Bible says. And so it's the practice that we have. And you know, I looked at this and the rest of the chapter really it's self-explanatory. And I'm only going to make a few comments on it. But I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. And just listen to it carefully. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep praying. When God's mercy, people are in need, be ready to help. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. We are not to faithful attitude towards anyone. Not even towards those who persecuted us. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of fire, shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. If you take those and take them one at a time, here is our responsibility. Here is the practice in our lives that we return to God in response to what He has done for Him. One Bible I looked at in this section, and it has the title said, Behave Like a Christian. our children when they were younger and the teenagers. There was about 20 teenagers in our chapel at that time. And every Sunday night, they'd either go to one of their homes or go out to a restaurant. It wouldn't surprise us to come to our home many a Sunday night as we opened the door to find 20 pairs of shoes in the entranceway. They went to a restaurant for a time of fellowship, a time together. And not once, but many times, I remember telling our children, John and Janet, as they went out on a Sunday night, knowing they were going to a restaurant or somebody's home, I simply say to them, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Behave like a Christian. And here we have a guideline. You know, there's a lot of talk these days about the Ten Commandments being reinstated in the schools and in different parts of the United States. They want the Ten Commandments boosted. You know, as I thought about this and thought about this passage, this would be a good passage not to post the Ten Commandments, but to post this passage, perhaps in the church, in our lives, inside our Bibles, and take a look at them every now and again. Because here we have the guidelines of the Christian life. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold lightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone should see that you're honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures. I will take revenge, I will pay back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will weep, bringing coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Just a comment in the last one. It says, never take revenge. There's a lot of talk about retribution in the world today, isn't there? People want to get back at their enemies or their friends. But remember, retribution is not part of a Christian life. Never will be. We're to leave that to God. It says, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals. And someone said the burning coal really is as we do good with people and how we respond to them and how we treat them, even though they're our enemies. That's a burning conviction that comes to them through the kindness that we show them. But don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. So how can we fulfill our responsibility in view of the mercies of God? Dear brothers, I plead you to give your bodies to God because all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way of worship, to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God calls us to respond to him by giving ourselves totally to him, that he can use him. He also calls us to show also our response and our responsibility in how we perform our Christian lives and how what we practice according to his word. Thomas Chisholm, a man who lived in the 18th century, he wrote a hymn, and I'm so sorry it's not in our hymn book, a hymn which is a beautiful hymn. And with this we close this morning. It says, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do. Yield in allegiance, light-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace, such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing his duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming his trial a part of my cross. O Jesus, Lord and Saviour, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Brothers and sisters, Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God to respond to what God has done for you and also be responsible in your lives for what you do. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what you've done for us. Jesus came into this world on the first Christmas. He came, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and said, as many as received him, to them he has given the authority to become the children of God. And Father, we thank thee the day in our lives when we came and we accepted him. What he's done for us, the cost it cost him, as he gave his life's blood, as he gave himself upon the cross, as the only sacrifice for all of our sin. But Father, you have called us to respond and also to be responsible in our lives for you. Bless us, we pray, Lord, and bless your word to our hearts, because we ask it now in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.